May we have ears to hear what the word of the Lord says today. We are busy with the seed series, as you know. Has the word and the theme challenged your life at all? Anybody? Yuri and Demi. Enigiemand anders? Hallelujah. Have you made any changes in the way you sow your life? Anybody? Any major changes in the way you sow your life, your time, in this season? Anybody? You don't have to. It's not my report. I'm just checking that. We need to come to church. We need to be challenged by the word. We're in community. We're in the body. We're in accountability and transparency and a love relationship. But it needs to look like something. It needs to, at the end of the day, and it's not a hard word, it's just a reality. You don't want to go to the gym and not see change. You don't want to go to work and never see a salary. And so we shouldn't be the church. We don't only go to church. We shouldn't be the church and not be made and changed in His image and likeness. And so we can't do it in and of ourselves, out of the flesh. And so I pray that the Lord will do that as part of the seed series. So we started off by saying the only one that can give life, the source of life, is the Trinity. We looked at that in detail. It's the Trinity that gives life. And so the Lord said to us, new life for the season. But if we want to see new life, we want to see breakthrough and all those charismatic stuff, we need to partner with the Lord and just sow in righteousness. And so after that, we were challenged, I believe, with the word that Christ firstly is the seed, and then He also shows us how to be seed, namely that you need to lose your life. We said to one another, who likes to cease or give over control? Maybe I should remind us. Who likes to be in control? Who likes to be honest in church? Who likes to be in control? Yes, who's still breathing? That's you, in other words. But obviously the Lord is working in us, this meekness. He's working in us through His Spirit and through His Word and through our wives or our husbands or our kids. He's working in us to be meek and to be patient so that we can lose our lives into His hands. So that's the place it bears fruit. And so the last one I shared then was on love and saying that the acid test or the litmus test for true sowing of your life, your time, your effort, your energy, your legacy, so to speak, needs to be love, exactly like we heard this morning or earlier today. It needs to be something in love, and that when you sow your seeds, you're not only sowing on your own. Somebody else is watering. Somebody else is also sowing in the body. Somebody else is volunteering. Somebody else is helping, and God gives the growth and the increase, and so the kingdom comes. And that's the beautiful way in which the Lord has set it up. He's also given all of us seed. He's given us bread to eat and seed to sow. In other words, everything that you have, all your wealth, all your health, all the grace upon your life cannot only be used by you yourself. Again, I think Chris alluded to that. You can't use up everything you have. There's bread for eating, to sustain you, to pursue your calling and to be who you need to be. And then there's the rest of that you need to sow. But we can't eat our seed as well. Otherwise, a future generation will not live. Otherwise, there won't be life in our communities. There won't be life in our church community. There won't be life next door. And I will not be of much worth to you guys. And likewise. And so these things are challenging us. And hopefully, as you say, we have been making changes. Stephen so beautifully, out of his life's testimony, shared that Jesus needs to be our eternal and great reward. And we know by now that this symbolic thing of seed is so important. And we've been looking at how we sow the seeds of our lives the whole time. What do I do with it? But today we want to flip it over. We want to flip it over, and now we're going to look at the seeds that we receive. Who of you receive seeds every day from different sources? Who's ever received seed from an ungodly source? I almost said huisgenoot, but I won't. Dis 'n grappie. 'N Rapport, Burger, Landbou Weekblad, Finesse. Ek joke. But we all receive seeds. I just want to make sure we're awake. We all receive seeds, albeit for social media, people at the work, the way in which your kid sniggers at you or talks back at you, can you believe it? Whatever you those WhatsApps and memes, all of those are things, seeds that can either come in and produce something in your life, or you can stop that seed and say, no, thank you. Who's ever had to quiet somebody and say, please stop speaking that way, stop praying that way over me, please don't share that stuff with me on that WhatsApp group. Who's ever had to do that? It's called boundaries. It's quite healthy. Please don't do it on the Shofar Table View WhatsApp group. That's why it's admin only. That's also a joke. But anyway, so we receive these seeds, and we need to be careful what seeds we receive, because when it falls in the seedbed of our heart, what happens to it? It grows, yes. That onkim. It starts to grow. And so if somebody sniggered and they skinner, or they say something malicious over you, you hear that and you receive that and say yes, and it fills your heart, it's going to produce fruit. Okay, so you get the picture that now we're just going to shift over and trust that the Lord comes and shows us where we need to be careful what seeds we receive. If you've got young kids and they're in school, or they got mates, you know that you need to be careful of what seeds your kids receive every single day. And so we're going to look at the parable of the sower. It's only part 5 of our seed series, but at last we're at the parable of the sower. So what's going to happen today is we're going to set the stage. We're going to read. It's quite a fair bit of reading. That's why I'm glad you're awake and you seem very keen to be in church. We're going to do a fair bit of reading to make sure that we actually read through what the word says. It's not just the reading, because when we hear the word, it can change our hearts. For the word of God is what? Alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I want to ask, will you let the word in today? Not my preaching per se, but the word of God. Will you let it in? Please let my preaching in if you've got peace by the Spirit. But will you let the word of God speak into your life? So maybe before we do that, what are the fruit that you're currently seeing in your life? Anybody? It can either be the fruit that you like or dislike. I sometimes get angry and lose my temper. It's not a good fruit. That is fruit of my life. Okay, I went first. Now it's your turn. Fear, yes, fear is a fruit, yes, absolutely. It stems from what? A seed that fell into your heart, into your life. Anybody else, what is the fruit that you see in your life? It can be practical, what you do. Striving, great. It can be positive or negative. I just want us to think. What is the fruit of your life at the moment? Joy, amen. Fear and joy, that makes lots of sense. You find people irritating. Thank you, Demi. That's really vulnerable. Amen. I hope my comment didn't irritate you. But amen, that's right. That's exactly what we should be doing. Maybe the Lord wants to cultivate something else in the place of irritation, which is love and patience. And that's just the honest truth. What are you experiencing in your life? What is the fruit that you're bearing now for the kingdom? Anybody? Dominique? Robert, indecisiveness. Pride. Yes, that's a fruit, definitely. Any other fruit that you're currently seeing in your life that you either want out or you want more of? Trust. Do you have that or do you need that? Both. such a good answer. It's like the young man saying, Jesus, heal my daughter. God, I believe, help me with my unbelief. That makes so much sense. Thank you, Sue. Anybody else, what is the fruit that you're currently seeing for the kingdom? Yolandi. Identity. Yes. Anybody else, what are you seeing? Yes. Lydia. Hunger. Hunger for the Lord. Hunger for the kingdom. A godly hunger. Amen. A righteous hunger. That's a good fruit. What I'm challenging us is to check our hearts and check what is the fruit of my life. Because as we know by now, if I backtrack, if I see the fruit of my life, and it might be fear and joy, it might be irritation with people, it might be trust, good and bad, or it might be striving. If I see the fruit in my life, and maybe it's not kingdom fruit, it's not godly, and I'm not seeking the kingdom and the fruit I see in my life, I can backtrack and say, okay, Lord, well, apparently the seed that I've received is leading to this fruit in my life, so again help me with the seed. Amen? Does that make sense? It's very simple. As we said, it's farming 101, but we want the word to be effective. We don't want to just hear a word, go on with life. Hear a word, get into church, go on with life, and things never change. Who wants godly change? Amen. Galatians 5:22, it's not on there, but the fruit of the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. There's nine of them. That's firstly good fruit. I want more of those fruit in my life. And then I want to see the gifts of the Spirit walk in my life, come to fruition in my life. I want to see the calling fruit of my life come to fruition. I want salvations to flow. Not I can't get anybody saved, but I want to touch people's lives so that salvation can come. I want to see freedom, like we've called people forward to pray for them, lay hands on them. I want to see more freedom and healing. That is called kingdom fruit. Who would like to see more kingdom fruit in their life? Now, you might struggle with this one and say, but do I really? It seems like a lot of effort. You think, the thing is let's be honest. We're trying to be honest and assess, because ultimately we want God's full work to be fulfilled in our lives. For me to have a big grasp and to have a heart for the fruit of the kingdom, whatever that might be, the kingdom of God to come, the church to be established, missions to be done, people to get saved, people to get fed on Monday nights and to be get healed and delivered, for small groups to be communities of life and of Zoe life, and Bible school to be effective and change life, to see all of these things, we need to be honest with the Lord that He can work in and through our lives. And so we're going through this not just to tick the box, but so that the Lord can bring the kingdom fruit. And the only reason why it will be important, I believe, is if the King is important. So if you didn't hear any of the things I've said, here's the one thing. If you realize kingdom fruit is actually not a big thing on my list of values. Church, missions, ministry, people getting to know the Lord, praying, spending time in the Word, all of these things that one would typically see as kingdom fruit is really not that a big a deal for me. We need to invite the King back into our hearts. Because what did Jesus say when they went looking for Him for 3.5 days? They rocked up. You know, I've said this many times. They said, "Waar was jy, manneke? Kom hier so." And He's like, "Don't you know I am about my Father's house? Don't you know I am about my Father's business?" In other words, I am big on kingdom fruit because I'm big on the King. Now, He is our King today. And so I want to just say, let's be honest. Lord, I'm big on salvations, but I've never ever shared the gospel with anybody. And voor die dood toe wil ek nie met iemand praat oor Jesus nie. Then you need to say, "Lord, come and help me with my heart. I want to be healed up. I want to be safe. I want to be debt free. I want to be sorted out. I'm not that concerned about my neighbor necessarily. I like church for the way in which I can receive something and it blesses me, but as for the rest and where I need to partake and receive responsibility and sow so that the kingdom fruit can flow, not a big thing for me." Now, obviously, I'm playing around with this, but the bottom line is to say, I want a heart for the King. Because I've got a heart for the King, and if the King's got my full heart and full attention again, then the kingdom fruit will be easy. Fruit is important to God. It's not on the board there. But you know that we're going to stand before Him one day, before God. And even though all we do is grace, this is a bit of a divine tension, I guess. All we do and all we bear, if we bear fruit, is grace. But still, we're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to be accountable for the way in which we said either yes or no for His kingdom fruit to come through our lives. Should I say that again? Or did it pierce our hearts? We are going to stand before God one day for the fruit of our lives, even though it is mere grace that we can bear fruit. But there's a humility part where we either bow our knee and say yes to Him or go our own way saying, "I want to actually just build my kingdom. Thank you very much." And so we know by now Galatians 6:7-9, it's not on the board. "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. You know the rest of the scripture. But it's important that we've got one life and one chance, and we need to ask God for the grace to say yes when He calls us. So the parable of the sower is really self-explanatory, but yet it's so beautiful. And we're going to, as I said, quickly lay a foundation. And next week we're going to look at the four different soils or seed beds, which maybe can show us why is there certain fruit of my life and maybe why is there not other fruit in my life. Now, the context of the sermon of this, the parable of the sower, keep on going back to the Sermon on the Mount, is that it's in three of the four Gospels. And I went to go read through all three of them, and they're almost identical. It's very few times that you find it that the description is so accurately the same in all three Gospels. It means that maybe this is quite a big thing for God. Obviously, He confirms and affirms this account. But He's saying this three times to us through His Word. And He might be saying to us, hey church, guess what? This is pretty important. This parable is pretty important. So, we're going to have homework today, but you'll see in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8 that the structure is exactly the same. Namely, that firstly, it's the parable, the story. We'll look at that now. Then Jesus says to the disciples why He actually uses parables. And here's where we need to spits on square. Here's where we need to listen up. And then lastly, He explains that to them. Now you might ask, Brother Retief, if He sets it up, He says why, and He explains it, why are we preaching on it? Because I believe it's a very important topic. And this can either set us up to have a fruitful life, or a life where the enemy steals and he steals our calling and steal the fruit of the kingdom from our lives. So we're going to look at the Matthew account. We're going to read through it. You know the three sections by now. I'm going to slowly read through the whole thing. Say, Lord, help me to listen. But more than that, to hear. Have your way. So let's quickly jump through it. Next week, we'll break open the four different seed beds, but let's just read through it slowly and let it speak. I'm not going to comment, but I want us to read through it together. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around Him that He got into a boat and sat down, while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. Still others fell on the to sow. Verse 4. How did that happen? Long day. As He was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. Holy Spirit, help us to hear what the Word is saying. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen. Who likes increase? Who likes 30-fold? And like Excel settle off with. Who likes 60-fold? Who likes 100-fold? Welcome to Charismatics. I'm just joking. He promises us this, but let's listen. Verse 10. Why Jesus used parables. He explains to us exactly why He did this. Then the disciples came up and asked Him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know. What profound words. But it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Sure. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. For the people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing and they have shut their eyes. They have shut their eyes. Listen up. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. Turn back and I would cure them. But your eyes are blessed because they do see. And your ears because they do hear. For I assure you, many prophets and righteous people long to see things you see, yet didn't see them. To hear things you hear, yet didn't hear them. I want to be such people. We're almost there. Hou vas, byt vas. Verse 18. The parable of the sower explained. You then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom, I hear seed. And doesn't understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path, and the one sown on rocky ground. This is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but it is short-lived. When pressure and persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth, the other translation says, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful, massive. But the one sown on good ground, we're like, sure, hallelujah. This is one who hears and understands the word, who does bear fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Just quickly, what stood out for you? Did you actually follow? It was quite a lengthy. Did you follow? Hello, hello, hello. Hallelujah. Dankie daarachter. Who was convicted by any part of this? Who was convicted by any part of this? Who maybe gets challenged by this to a slight degree? Who doesn't understand all of this? That's why you need to come back next week, because we're going to look at it even more. Now, Jesus said to us, why parables? But it's so important because there's a key here for all of our Christian life that is important. We already know that a parable is just a story that one uses to illustrate a deeper meaning. In this case, biblically speaking, a spiritual meaning. And so, a parable is a teaching or method using the familiar to illustrate the unfamiliar concepts. So the Lord is just using this through His Word to explain to us how things work in our heart. And how the Word can either change our life for the good, or how the Word and the kingdom message can have effect or no effect because of the state of what? Our hearts. Boom. Lekker. It is a story of saying that demonstrates a truth using comparison, hyperbole, or simile. The word parable comes from the Greek word that means to put things side by side. In Greek rhetoric, people use them for arguments and etc., etc. And so let's quickly go back to that scripture, verses 10 to 17. He starts off, they start off by asking, why do you speak to us in parables? Why use these funny things? Why don't you just say it like it is? And then the Lord says to them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. Does it seem unfair? Does it seem unfair? It seems unfair, but I think there's a key because it's about the state of our hearts. And we can look further now in Scripture. It is about what we will and what we choose. I'm going to say that. Maybe I sense that in my spirit. I'm going to repeat that. It is ultimately about what man chooses and what man wills that determines the seedbed, that determines the fruit and the outcome of the kingdom and gospel message of God. We can get to that just now. Verse 14, Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. And it's not by being smart that you will understand, guys. It's by humility and having the Spirit that we will understand. He said, let who come to me? The doctors, the academics, the learned ones. No, he said, let the children come to me. So it's not an intellectual thing. It's not about being smart. It's about being humble and open and with your knee bowed before the Lord. We can get to that now. Verse 15, for this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and who have shut their eyes? They have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. So his heart is for us. His heart is not, you're the lucky ones, you're the lucky ones, lucky ones. Cheers, see you, now I'll work with you. No, it's all dependent on what we willingly choose. Who in this church have a free will? That's a good thing and that's a very bad thing. That's a healthy thing and sometimes it can be a very unhealthy thing. But it's a very godly thing. Who's ever willingly shut their eyes? I'm not saying going to bed every night. Metaphorically speaking, who's maybe sometimes shut their hearts, either for a loved one, for a colleague, for a friend, or for the Lord? Who's been hard of hearing of late? And so the Lord says, hey guys, check your hearts. I want you to have ears to hear and eyes to see. You need not go down the parable now already and go chat about the details. Let's just start at the start. This is why I'm doing it. This is the way I do it. But I give you a chance. And now I'm actually giving you the key because I want you to be part of the blessed ones that actually see and see, hear and hear and change. I want to see and see. I want to hear and hear. Amen, amen. Lekker. So ultimately, the key here is the heart. Quickly pop on the next slide for me. You can go to the next slide if you can get there. Isaiah, thank you. I just looked back earlier this year. We touched on the heart because we're going to look at the heart quite a fair bit to make sense of what this parable means. And so a heart, I took it screen grabs out of that sermon in the earlier of this year. The heart is the thoughts, feelings, and mind. The heart is the part where our emotions and desires dwell. Hey, where our emotions and desires dwell. It's either where the seed of the Lord and of His message can either be effective or ineffective. The Bible says, it says the human struggle or battle happens within a single entity, the human heart. The great battle. And then on this side, the heart is used as a metaphor for the seat of our most basic orientation, our deepest commitments, what we trust, most love and hope in, and what we most treasure, what captures our imagination. Oi, that's the heart. Who sees a bit of a battle? Here comes the good news of the gospel. Here comes the power of the seed of God's message. But here's a couple of other things in this seedbed. This seedbed can either receive or reject that seed because of the state it is in. Is their heart hearing this? Hey, I'm also, yeah, of course. Goeie hart. My heart het soms 'n tuinvurk nodig. My heart needs a tilt now and again. Why is it then that the Lord uses parables? He uses it to explain these things because He's constantly sowing His seed. But yet we as people, we as man and woman can choose either to receive or not. And we are, to a very big degree, responsible for the state of our hearts. He can help us. He doesn't leave you like, oh, your heart suck. Kom ek gaan aan. No, He will help you with your heart. That's why I believe through this and through the reason He says to us, He uses parables, is because He calls us to humility. He calls us to honesty. He calls us to walking in the light and seeking Him in His word, seeking His counsel, seeking accountability. Because so that exposes our hearts not to to be hard and harsh on us, but to say, Lord, help me. I need more grace to come through this. I need more grace to have a good seed bed so that it can produce its fruit. Lord, I need to humble myself and be honest that the pressures of this world, persecution, what other people think of me, deceitfulness of riches, all of these things are arm wrestling your good gospel word out of my heart. And it's not producing fruit. Lord wants to help us with our hearts. I need help with my heart. Do you need help with your heart? The next thing is the seed. Who sows the seed, Jesus said? Who sows the seed? God. Yes, God goes and he uses the seed. In this day and age, who does he use? He uses us, me, preachers, teachers. He uses you in your kids' lives. He uses the word. He uses worship. Everywhere we put on these things, listen to these things, open our lives. The message of the kingdom is sown. The message of the kingdom is sown. The message of the kingdom is sown. Is the sower faithful? One might ask, but why do you sow it everywhere? He just sows it everywhere, right? It doesn't only just look good ground, good ground, good ground. He sows his seeds lavishly everywhere. Why? Because the sun will rise upon the righteous and the unrighteous. Our God is a good God. Nobody will ever one day stand before him and say, you didn't give me a fair chance. No, that's not his character. That's just impossible. He is love. So he sows, even though it's on the rocky road, even though it's on the path, even though he knows it might not fall on good ground, he keeps on sowing because he is gracious. And then he knows you've got a choice. You need to decide what the battles are going to be won and lost in your heart and where this message will go. So God sows the seed. And tell me something about the seed. Is there some of the seeds that are more effective than others, or are the seeds of the gospel all pretty potent and powerful? They're all potent and powerful. The gospel cannot change. The seed of God that he sows cannot change. Amen? Yeah. The kingdom message, the kingdom seed cannot change. We often would like to say no, but maybe it's the preaching, maybe it's the teaching, maybe it's the booklet, maybe it's the translation. And so the enemy would like to point in other direction. But hey, guess what? According to Scripture, it's not the problem of the seed if I'm not bearing fruit. For Demi's sake, I'll say that again. It's not the problem of the seed if I'm not bearing the fruit. I'm not saying this is a hard or harsh word. Remember, we're laying a foundation. And we said, we want the fullness, Lord. We said, Lord, speak to us. We said, Lord, let your word in. And so if this sounds harsh, that is not the heart. Because ultimately, whatever success, whatever breakthrough, whatever fruit I'm going to see is actually going to be because of his grace. But it's going to take my choosing. That's it. It's going to take my humility. It's going to take my acknowledgement. Lord, I actually love my hobby more than I love you. Lord, I actually like my bank balance a slight bit more than the gospel. Lord, I'm actually more concerned about my pension than other people's salvation. It's awfully quiet now. It's not a hard word. It's just to say, Lord, I've got one life. Make it count. And so, can we point a finger at the sower, we said? No. Can I point a finger at the seed? Okay, great. So if there's any discrepancy, where are we going to look for it? In the mirror. Yeah, amen. We're going to look for a positive way to end this pretty shortly. Don't you worry. Let's bring it home. Matthew 13:1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house, and we're going to take this home because this is a sermon over a week. And the Lord's going to keep on working in our hearts. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. We know him now, he's God. We know what he seeds. It's faithful, righteous seeds. Always. As he was sowing, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. The heart now is that we start inviting the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, come. We don't have to be scared for these moments. I'd rather have this moment now, Lord, and know that you're going to help me. Or you might say, man, there's no conviction. Praise God. There's a good soil in here. Hallelujah. And then we know we're going to trust for 30, 60, 100-fold. Or we can look at the next and say, Lord, come and help me. Others fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil and they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. Getting all excited. I'm going to come to intercession every single time. I love the church. I wake and I sign up. 3 months later, like, vast immense. So they're very excited. It springs up, but then we're gone. We don't want the enemy to steal anymore. Verse 6. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered. Others fell along the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground, produced a crop 160 and some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen. So next week we're going to look at the four areas. And I know that the gospel all throughout, when I read it, challenges me. Every part of it challenges me. But I also know the character of God. I also know that He gave His Son so that what we share here with one another is not impossible. Amen? Who feels this is hard? Who knows by faith in Christ, by the grace of the Spirit, that it is possible? Who knows that no good father will give a challenge to a kid that is absolutely impossible and that will break them? Except Jesus. That's why He did that. God will never challenge us with something that is impossible. It might not be humanly possible, but in the Lord, with the Spirit, with the grace of the body, it is possible. Now, the only one thing that remains, only two things that remain, is the following. Ears to hear and a will to choose. Ears to hear and a will to choose. And so that is the only thing I want to leave us with. The ball is in our court. To go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're not hard, you're not harsh, you don't condemn, but you do convict. Lord, because one day when we stand before you, we want to know that we've been faithful with the call on our lives. I know that you're actually going to ask us about what have we done with the call on our lives, Lord. And did we actually enter into those wrestles with the things of our hearts, the fears, the persecution, the choking of the word by the riches of this world, etc. And so, will you stand with me and let us close in prayer, asking God just to very simply give us ears to hear so that we can understand what He says to us. And then secondly, help us with our will and then work in our seed beds. Because ultimately, what is God's heart more than ours today? For good ground, 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 good ground. Everybody to have good ground. So that when the seed of the word falls, it will bear much fruit. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Again, not my words, but your word, Lord. That is powerful and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, even if it seems tough sometimes, thank you that you are a good God that will never ask us more than we can bear. And you will not ask something that is impossible of us unless you come and fulfill the impossibility through your Spirit in us. And so we can say amen to that. Very simply, if you want to say, Lord, help me. I want to be one of those blessed ones like the disciples that actually hear and understand your word and what the Spirit says. Even before we speak about fruit, Lord. I want to be the one that has ears to hear and a heart that perceives that is soft and eyes to see. If you want that, just very simply raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, God, for these hands. Thank you, Lord, for by grace we pray for humility, for ears to hear, eyes to see, and soft hearts. That's it. help us. Naturally, I don't have those things. Supernaturally, I thank you by grace that you'll give them to me. And then, as we go into next week, we're going to look at that four seed beds, and we know already now what the enemy's tactics are, and those things that he wants to put in our hearts, and those things that might choke the word. If you want the Lord just to help you prepare so that we can have good ground and even show us where he can take stuff out so that the word and the message of the gospel can produce fruit, just again, just say, Lord, you are able and you are welcome to work in my heart. You can just raise your hand to the Lord just as an act towards him, not towards me, but towards him, saying, yes, Lord, work in my heart. God, I thank you then that we can submit this time to you to work in our hearts and help us to have ears to hear what you say to us, and that you can lead us to bear much fruit, Lord. Because this life is short and we want to walk in that fullness, and we don't want a wasted life. By your grace, in Jesus' name, amen.